Okay, it's September 16th, and it's 2017. And I'm Thomas Robb.
And I'm Jason Robb.
And this is a roundtable discussion. We don't have Rachel here today. She was sick yesterday.
Yeah, she was sick, and so she's in bed, but I think she'll be recovering here hopefully sometime today or maybe tomorrow. But
yeah, but not time for the show.
Not time for the show. So it's just you and I, absolutely. So absolutely.
Bouncy words of wisdom back and forth each other.
Well, we try to. We try to give opinions that may have trying to rearrange the computer here. We try to give opinions that we may have seen during the week and have discussions regarding what's happening with the Knights Party organization and current events. So
a current event was in St. Louis last night.
It is. Do you see all those evil white supremacists rioting in St. Louis? Did you see that?
I saw that.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Actually, I didn't.
No, we didn't. No, we're all joking. So, well, in St. Louis, there was a judge that had acquitted a cop who was involved in a police shooting incident back in 2011. And so I guess he was acquitted. And so he released the, I don't know what they all did, but anyway, he's free basically.
He reviewed the evidence over and over and over again and finally concluded that the cop was justified in the shooting of this black, he was a heroin dealer.
Right.
And so now the people upset, they're angry about it because it's just another example of cops out killing black men.
Right. And so they're riding all in St. Louis, and there was what, about 20 cops that were injured. And then there's massive riots, but it's not by pro-white the crowd, it's by your non-whites.
Same element that attacked the white pro-white group in
Charlottesville. Right.
Those people in Charlottesville were not, they didn't create the riot, they were defending themselves.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, so that's what's happening in St. Louis, and of course they're not making that really well known. You have to search that out, that there's a riot going on in St. Louis. You know, I mean, this is some of your news media outlets, but for the most part, it's been somewhat, you know,
this is
quiet. Another day of the week in St. Louis.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, so that's what's happening there in St. Louis. There's a thing on in Berkeley where there's a riot going on because Ben Shapiro, he's a Orthodox Jew, but he says a lot of things that we would agree with regarding abortion, the social issues, economics. So he was talking, I guess, speaking at Berkeley this yesterday or a few days ago. And he, I guess there's a massive riot there in Berkeley.
$600,000 for security.
Yeah, in Berkeley because of the fact that he was speaking there because he's considered a conservative on social issues and on immigration, on your debt relief, on abortion.
That's,
I mean,
amazing.
A lot of things that we say, you know, he says the same thing.
Well, it's amazing. He's an Orthodox Jew, but protesters call him a Nazi.
Yeah, that, to me, that's like, it's funny. It's funny, you know, and yeah, they call him a Nazi and racist and everything, and here's an Orthodox Jew who's like up there talking and saying, "Well, I'm an Orthodox Jew," you know.
Yeah, well, this element, this anti-establishment, man, it's the wrong word. I don't want to use that word. This anti-police,
right?
Anti-law and order. They are anarchists. They hate everybody who does not want the immediate overthrow of the United States government.
Right.
And they don't care what your political agenda is or racial agenda is besides that.
Right.
If you are not for the immediate overthrow of the U.S. government, you are considered a Nazi and a supremacist. And a,
right.
Or, and they want to riot and tear you down and attack you and smash you into the streets.
Right.
Same thing in Charlottesville. The same thing. The only difference is those people fall back.
Right.
And I guess you're not supposed to fight back.
You're not supposed to fight back at all. You're supposed to just sit there and take it. But yeah, you're absolutely right. They want the immediate overthrow of the United States government. And people, you might have some listeners out there saying, well, I don't believe in what's happening with the United States government. They betrayed us. Yes, I understand that. But it's not that they hate the current establishment or current institution. They hate the very basic foundation of the United States.
Yeah.
They hate the Constitution. They hate the founding forefathers. They hate the idea of America being a white nation. A white Christian nation, those are the things they hate. It's not that they hate the policies of Donald Trump or the policies of even the Democrats. They, in their mind, is the founding forefathers were traitors. The white Christians are traitors. They all need to basically die. They don't need to exist. And it needs basically to be burnt down to the ground. And so they hate even the idea of that. So that's why these Antifas that we see on stage, you know, out in the news media, they're not just a political discourse group. They're very, very much violence and pro-violence. They're anti-white terrorists.
And when they say they hate the government, they're not hating the same thing the most white Christians hate.
No.
The things that most white Christians hate are things they love.
Right.
So they're not comrades, so to speak.
Right.
They hate the very foundational principles of our country. Just like you said, Jason. That's what they hate. The things that you embrace and love and hold dear, they want to destroy. And so they hate the monuments. They hate not just Confederate monuments, they hate all the monuments to our forefathers, anything that creates a white identity.
Absolutely.
They hate the American flag, that's why you see them burning it on the streets. And I saw a fellow on TV the other day talking about how the national anthem, he referred to Colin Kaepernick as a hero. Our national anthem, he says, neo-Confederate. And, you know, that kind of throws you back a little bit. Neo-Confederate National Anthem was written 50 years before the Confederacy. How can the National Anthem be neo-Confederate? And then his explanation was because the National Anthem, when it became officially our National Anthem, which was sometime in the early 1900s, that it was supported by Southerners and Confederate flag-waving, well, we would call patriots, but they'll call Confederate flag-waving terrorists who wanted the national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner, as a national anthem. And therefore, because it was embraced by neo-Confederates, therefore the national anthem is a neo-Confederate song, which is really a big jump, but nevertheless, they make it, and they're going to continue to push it until it becomes part of the narrative and talking points. And white people will, maybe not the average white person on the streets, but white people in the media will then be apologetic for it.
Right. Well, if the idea is that, the basic idea, concept is if slavery is bad, anyone that is associated owning a slave or living in a culture of slavery equally means that they are bad. And so if they're bad and they're evil, then we do not need to honor that person or that institution. So therefore, we need to destroy it. I mean, it's just a basic concept. So that's why Confederate statues need to be removed because they were all white racists because they owned slaves. Okay, so that's the first narrative. Okay, everyone's on board. That's right. We need to remove that because slavery was wrong and all those people were slave owners. So they got everyone on their side for that. And that's what they wanted. Okay, that's right. The basic concept. Slavery is bad. If you're for slavery, you're bad. And if you're against slavery, then you're good. So now everyone's on board. Not everybody, obviously, but you know, let's say an average person out there that wants those statues removed. And this is what they're thinking. So we now are slaves, or the statues are need to be removed. The Confederate statues need to be removed. Now, okay, now let's jump to the founding forefather statues. Let's go to anyone that might be a white northerner that had some slaves or were sympathetic to the southern states doing whatever they wanted to do. So let's destroy
and
them.
We're not advocating for slavery.
No, but it's just the basic concept.
Right.
And so that's why you have statutes such as the judge in Maryland who wrote the Dred Scott decision.
Taney.
They removed his statute. You have the statute that was vandalized in Baltimore, Maryland. I believe Francis Scott Key. They vandalized him, and they're saying, well, we're not going to take that statue down, but they're wanting to take that statute because he wrote the national anthem and he was a racist. Okay. And so if this idea is anyone that's sympathetic to slavery or the South is evil, then let's destroy all those statues or anything of that memory.
I want to add too that many of the Southerners themselves were not sympathetic to slavery. It isn't that if
no.
you're a Confederate, you wanted slaves. Many of the slave owners in the South themselves recognized that slavery was a bad institution.
Right.
And the best way I can explain it, I guess, as I read in a book here several years ago, which made sense to me, is that you had slave owners. They might own 50, 75, 80, 100 slaves. And they said to themselves, okay, I think slavery is bad. I don't think it's good. But then you don't release the slaves. So therefore, you're a bad person because you still have slaves, even though you say it's bad, but you still have slaves. And the thing is, they recognize that, you know, it'd be like the average person who has a, you know, somebody jump me on this, but say you have a couple of pet poodles or pet dogs,
right.
Okay? And you say, well, those dogs are being cared for, they're being nurtured, they're being fed. You put out their bowl of water for them every day. They got a warm house to sleep in. And say, well, okay, I'm going to just open the door and kick the dogs outside.
Right.
I'm not going to take care of them anymore. Well, you'll say, well, that's a horrible person.
Right.
Well, that's how these slave owners, so many, felt. They felt responsible for them. They felt that they were responsible to care for them and provide for them because they lived on their plantation and they exchanged work for care. And what they thought, if I just set them free, so to speak,
Where are they going to go?
Well, yeah, where are they going to go? What are they going to do?
Right.
Who's going to feed them? Who's going to take care of them? You know, so.
And they know that if that happened, it potentially could cause anarchy.
Right.
I mean, you have blacks who they're freeing. I mean, and first of all, people need to understand the whites, you know, obviously did not believe blacks were their equal, you know. That's a basic concept, you know.
That's why our founding fathers are bad.
All our founding forefathers, they believed that America was a white Christian country. It was a white country, and you have blacks there and slaves. And as a result of that, they did not consider them equal. But the same token, they know, you're right, Ad. They know that if they were going to release them, it could potentially cause anarchy because if blacks have nowhere to go. If they, it's not like, okay, we're going on this property and start building a cabin. Well, you don't own it. How are you going to work? How are you going to survive? Where are you going to go live at? You got families, you got children, you got wives. Where are they going to go? So very much the slave owners felt a sense of obligation because they knew that for the most part, whites did not believe in slavery because it's kind of the same thing as today. I always tell people you have Mexican population or Chinese. When you oversaturate the market, it drives down the wages of everybody else. And that's what happened down there in the South is that you had a lot of blacks and it drove down the wages of your average blue collar white worker, you know. And so as a result of that, vast majority of the white population in the South did not want slavery. They didn't believe in it because they knew that there was a cause and effect of driving down the wages. They also knew on the flip side of it, potential crime and everything else. So they were concerned about the freeing of the slaves and having slaves continually being imported into the United States. But
I saw one person, this was written years ago, during the time of slavery. It's slavery like holding a snarling wolverine at arm's length. You're scared to death of them, but you don't dare let them go.
You don't dare let it go. Absolutely.
You know, and that's kind of what it was. They knew it was bad, but at
what
this
can
point
you do?
Now,
yeah.
What are they going to do?
Right. And that's why there was such a big push right after the Emancipation Proclamation, and most people don't really realize this, but that's why there was such a big push by your northern groups, Abraham Lincoln, and various free state societies, that, yes, they were in favor of making them free, but in the same token, they were in favor of trying to get them repatriated back to Africa. They wanted them sent back to Africa, and that's what they were. There was a big push
American
for them.
American Colonization Society, the part of our United Nations formation, wanted that very thing. And maybe, I don't know if they can, if they saw it the same way we do today, but we see what's happening today with this element in our society, how they're tearing down our Christian ideals, our Christian principles, everything we love and hold dear. They're destroying it. They're making a new nation, not the nation of our forefathers. They're creating a new nation. And I think our forefathers knew that this was an element that could not coexist within a white society. Abraham Lincoln said the same thing. I can't, you may remember the quote, but he basically said the same thing. That's why they don't like Lincoln. You know, people think, well, they should love Lincoln. He freed the slaves. Well, the point is, Lincoln made numerous statements saying that he did not believe in white and black equality, and that if there's going to be one person going to rule, he favors the white man to rule.
Exactly.
So he was a racist to the core, and they don't like him for that reason.
Well, and people don't understand that. No, I was talking about Donald Trump, trying to drain the swamp, you know. Well, Abraham Lincoln had somewhat had to try to drain the swamp too, because there was very much aggressive attempts for the continually bring of blacks in the United States. And that was a big fight. You have certain elements of the country who wanted more slaves coming in. You know, your big business owners, just like today, cheap labor, Mexicans. And you had a huge amount, and the most important, vast majority of the people in the United States did not want slaves continually coming in.
And then you had the radical Republican led by Thaddeus Stevens, who wanted to punish the South and run across the South like a steamroller. Abraham Lincoln was opposed to that, and this huge swamp Lincoln fought against, and that's why he finally got assassinated. And so it's not an easy issue, dealing with that period of time. It's not so clear cut, as so many people want to imply, that all the Southerners were white evil racists that wanted slavery, but the fact is a very small percentage of Southerners even owned slaves.
Exactly.
And so
I think like 2%.
Yeah, it was very small.
Yeah.
So they weren't fighting to maintain their slavery.
Like they all want to keep their slaves. They didn't have slaves. Yeah. They had no interest in slavery.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, yeah, there's a lot of issues there that more than just the basic South wanted slaves, North did not want slaves, and that's it. Well, no, there's a lot more dynamics that was being played there, and a lot of it was came down to race. And so we fast forward to today, where they are wanting to, when they say they, the anti-white establishment, the white terrorists, they are wanting to destroy America from the get-go. They want to destroy all institutions. They hate our founding forefathers. They hate the idea of it being a white Christian country. I mean, they just hate everything that America traditionally stands for.
And last night I watched the news a little bit about this riot, and it was on Fox News. And this kind of angers me, but it's typical for white people. They're showing all the protesters there. I don't know how many, hundreds, thousands. I don't know how many were there. And they're saying how there's been, this is early in the evening, before it really got bad. And they said there are elements that are looking, starting to turn violent, starting to create troubles and so forth. And then they said, you know, the people have a right to be there. We understand that. If they have a grievance with the government, they have a right to be there. But the violent ones are the ones that outside of the law, you know. But the way it was said, is what I think. It wasn't the words that was said, but the implication that is given is that I guess yes, in a right, people have a right to
protest.
But the point is that doesn't make them good people.
Right.
And the implication with the people that are protesting who are not creating violence are good.
Right.
And the ones who are creating violence are bad. No, the ones who are not who are protesting and not creating violence, they're bad too.
Right.
Because they are also anti-police.
Exactly.
So it isn't like these are good anti-police people and these are bad anti-police people. They're all anti-police. They're all against law and order. They're all against justice. They all wanted the white police officer to hang. So they were all bad. Not that those who were not bought it were good. But and that's the impression I got. Well, you know, typical white people.
Right.
Well, these are good protesters because they're showing their displeasure. Okay, they have a right to do that. I'll grant, okay, in a stretch, they have a right to do that. But that doesn't make them good.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and that's the thing is because those massive amount of people there that, you know, so-called peacefully assembly, they smile and they're clapping basically when there's a white cop that's killed.
Yeah.
You know, and they're happy about it.
They're still anti-police.
They may not be
law and order.
They may not be taking the malt liquor and throwing it through a window and causing it to burn down, but they're in favor of it, you know, and they're happy when a cop is being killed and assassinated. And so they're much, very much in favor of that. So you're absolutely right. They're not good people.
Then to prove that you're right, when their services where they burnt the American flag, okay?
Right.
I did not see the masses of the good people descending upon them to protect the flag.
No.
They sat around and cheered it.
Exactly.
You know, so I know somebody say, well, how do you know they were in favor of killing cops? You know, well, you saw what their reaction when our flags were being burnt, when the cop cars were being smashed, when they're dancing on top, jiggling around on top of the cop cars, smashing the windows. I didn't see any of the crowds trying to stop them. I didn't see nobody try to stop them. So they were all kind of enticing that, even though they may not all have been engaged in it.
Well, and that's why you're seeing more and more, again, your major cities where you have your massive amount of your non-whites, where they congregate and live. That's where these major cities are basically your third world countries, your no-go zones, because those cities, those mass amount of population, they don't represent traditional America. They don't represent white Christians. You know, yesterday, me and my family, we went to the rodeo here in Boone County, and you know, you had the announcer, you know, and he, you know.
Is rodeos racist?
It probably
sure
is.
At some point
I'm sure I'm sure you probably can find somewhere where the blacks and the non-white crowd probably says and suggests that rodeos are racist.
Earlier time,
and the people that usually go to the rodeos are white. They're
like
Christians. Yeah, they're whites and they're Christians. They believe in traditional America. They believe in praying.
Okay, that's what they're racist.
They're racist.
Okay, we got to get that concluded. All right.
But then that's what I'm saying is that, you know, you have the rodeo announcer and everyone, you know, he did the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, that's racist too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he prayed.
Uh-oh.
Again, it was racist. Sick, you know?
What kind of meeting were you at last night?
I know. It was a racist meeting, I guess. You know? And
you took your little children to that.
Exactly. You know, I should have
subject them to listen to prayers.
I should have had them
pledge?
Close their ears. Absolutely. But, on a serious note, you had the announcer who was praying and praying about to Jesus Christ, and that we see things what's going on, but it's good that we live in an area that believes in Christianity.
That's racist too.
And believes in what the country was founded on. And I was, when he was praying, I was thinking in my mind, you know, if this was like put on social media, you know, it would be considered a racist. I mean, it's just a racist event, you
in
know?
The area we live in, what does that mean? A non-white?
Right.
Or almost all white area?
Yeah.
And versus St. Louis or Kansas City?
Right, exactly. And so the point I'm making is that these people, you know, at the rodeo and the crowd represents if you want to call it, your traditional America, white Christians, you know, basic
kind of
good
people voted for
people,
Donald Trump.
Basic good people.
Yeah.
You're not going to see that type of crowd in St. Louis. You're not going to see that type of crowd in Philadelphia or any other major city in the United States, and even the South. You're not going to see that. You're not going to see that in Birmingham, Memphis, Atlanta.
Right.
You know, all your major cities where that's basically non-white, you're not going to see that type of crowd. And the reason why, because they're different people. They're different race. And so you're not going to see that. So these major cities, it's a non-white area, you know. It's basically they're not Christians. They're not white culture. They don't believe in traditional America. So that's why ultimately these different areas, these pockets of America that are white people, where there's white culture, that's why you won't see the massive riots. That's why you won't see the attitude of police killing. It's because these are white areas, traditional white America. And the anti-white crowd hates those people. They hate those environments. They hate those cultures. That's why Oprah Winfrey basically said that basically the institutions is white people. The old white people just have to die off, you know. So that's why these different areas in St. Louis are totally different than the people that lives in your heartland of America.
And the people who live in the heartland and traditional, the white people, you know, instead of being the haters that they're implied to be, they are tolerant. Can you imagine any other people tolerating the destruction of their culture, the destruction of their monuments, the destruction of their heroes? And white people just keep tolerating it and tolerating it and tolerating it. They're not being intolerant. They're very tolerant. But at some point, the tolerance is going to stop.
Absolutely.
At some point, white people are going to begin to resist. And we saw some of that resistance with the election of Donald Trump. But that's not the end of the resistance. Resistance is going to continue to grow. The anger is going to continue to grow as the non-white, anti-white crowd continues to push against our people and our culture and heritage and our heroes.
Yeah, and that's why I think you are seeing, I think you are starting to see people waking up. And people are starting doing slowly, but I mean, you saw massively just with the election of Donald Trump. But people are waking up from the standpoint, they are starting to see a clear and a definite line between what traditional America was and what is becoming. I mean, it's these anti-white crowds, the anti-white terrorists that I would call them, they're no longer silent. They are out in the street and they are violent.
Yeah.
Anybody that stands,
and their hatred is obvious against anything.
Right. You have an American flag, they hate you. You have a Trump sign that to them is basically means you're a white racist, they hate you. So, and they are very vocal about it, and they're very violent about it. And that's where I think you will start seeing white people at a massive rate really start waking up. And what does waking up mean? That doesn't mean all of a sudden the light clicked on, because they already knew it was there. They are now going to be more vocal. They are going to start saying, I don't care. You can call me a racist. You can call me a bigot all day long. That is no longer having any effect on me to be silent. And that's where you're starting seeing people standing up now. And you're seeing it at a massive amount, right? And you're going to see it more. And what I've been telling, or what I've been referring to, is pockets of resistance. And it's pockets of resistance, basically where you have your vast majority of white Christians. Those are the pockets of resistance where they are not going to be silent anymore. They are going to be more vocal about it.
Right. You know, and we're not asking that minorities be treated in an unfair manner. We're not asking for black people or non-white people to be just herded into the corners and stomped. We're not asking. What we're asking for is that our nation, our people, our heritage, our culture, our children be allowed a right to exist, to grow, to prosper, to embrace their heritage, their culture, their heroes, the symbols of their
well,
nation.
And the saying that you're starting to sing so much anymore is you're not going to replace us. You know, and you're hearing a lot more people say that you will not replace us. And that's literally what that means, is you will not replace us with your culture, with your race, with your values, and expect us as white Christians to go silent in the night. You know, we are not going to allow that. We're going to be as vocal about it as possible. We are going to do everything politically as possible to counteract this agenda of annihilating our race and our culture.
Right. Well, okay, I think we're about done with the show today.
Yep. We're doing it. I had just a short version of the program, the broadcast. So we really appreciate all our listeners out there. Give us a feedback. Write to us at P.O. Box 2222, Harrison, Arkansas, 72601. Send us a letter.
Yeah, we do want to hear from you.
Yeah.
Send us a letter.
Send us a letter, let you know. Or you can email us. So you can email us as well regarding how you like the program. As always, you know, we do would appreciate any tithes and support to this broadcast. Please send us a donation. We are not supported by Fortune 500 companies. We're not supported by anything like that, except by men and women, white Christians, men and women that love this country and want to help to restore it. And so we really need to, you know, everyone out there, that you know, you need to do your part, you know, so help with this program, share it on social media, tell your friends about it. And again, social media is so important. Just share it. Just say, hey, look what I came across. You know, that's all you have to do.
Right. Well, okay. Well, listen, this has been great. I'll tell you, share you, like Jason says, share this on social media. Until next time, this is Thomas Robb.
And Jason Robb.
Reminding you to love your God and to love your people.